when Vicky made a statement to her mother and Carmel about going to the general, I want to tell you something. I could go to the general and I say, yes, sir, I did. I did fulfill everything you requested of me the year before. The reason why I have that confidence is not because I did it, but because I yielded completely and say, I need your power, I need your strength, I need your wisdom, I need your insight, I need everything about you. And I recommend, you know, if you're going to do this 10 days of awe, you want to blow the shofar, get on your knees first and beseech the Creator of heaven and earth that He may be able to use and give you understanding and insight. I really, really, really think it's important. You know, because it's not just acknowledging Him. You know, He's the one that gives you the full power, the full strength, the full fortitude to be able to withstand the enemies, with able to stand any lie, with able to stand anybody or anything. Because, see, we know this much about God. If your life is taken, it's preserved in the Lord. So we have nothing to fear. So when you have to go to battle, go to battle. And don't be afraid. I mean, someone else will fill their shoes in the flesh if they have to be. I mean, how many people have done that before? But you want to be able to be the one. I am the resurrection and the life. This particular banner seems really odd to an awful lot of people because when they, quote, think about the resurrection, what does the world think about? Easter, right? Nothing to do with it. We think, well, maybe it's during the time of Passover and maybe the third day. No, has everything with doing it today. I'll hope to be able to show you that today. This day is a day you are longing for, and all the dead in the Messiah is longing for. They're waiting for those trumpets to be blown. And we go to Numbers, the 10th chapter, I want you to pay very close attention to the manner of what those trumpets are for and what they are used for a precise purpose. Not for general. It's not a blowing a shofar. It's not sounding a ram's horn. This is two silver trumpets. Very, very important silver trumpets. And the Apostle Paul says something, right? What did he say? The last trump is blown. Are you talking about a shofar? No, he's talking about the last calling. God is now calling you. He has called the people of the past. He's called the apostles. He's called Moses. He's called Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He's called, they are part of the first. Who are you? You can be part of them as well. Those who are dead and buried in the Messiah, guess what? They will be here when He opens up. He says, they will hear my voice when I call to them. Do you think His voice is going to be something sounding like a shofar? No, He's going to yell out your name, and you're going to come, and you're going to be resurrected from the dead. Your friends are going to be resurrected dead, and you are in the flesh. You're going to decompose and become living, and living forever. That's the hope of today. So when we look at the first three holy periods are Passover, Days of Unleavened Bread, and what? Pentecost. Now, Pentecost is the lifting up of what? What do you lift up unto God? Two loaves of bread. Now, you have heard me week after week after week, and you're hearing me today. Blessed are you, the Lord our God, who brings forth bread from the earth. He's not bringing forth bread from the heavens. He's bringing forth bread from the earth. And that bread will have eternal life in it. It's you, it's me, it's those who have been brought of God, be part of Him, and He has done the calling. Now remember, Pentecost is the end of the count, not the beginning of the count. And sometimes we forget that. We think it's keep on going, keep on counting. No, it's the end. When it's completed, something else is going to take place. Wait a minute. How many months later? 4 months later. What did the Messiah say to His apostles at the woman at the well, Samaria? Hey, you think the feast is going to be in 4 months? Look around. Now is the time. And watch the harvest, because the harvest is ripe. What harvest are you referring to? He was talking about Pentecost. We know that. We understand that. You've heard me talk about that many times. But at the same time, I want you to see the last three holy days are something entirely different. This whole seventh month is the conclusion of it all. And we are at the beginning of it. The new moon was spotted in Jerusalem last night. Is that strange? No. Not strange at all. That always happens, by the way, every month. It's got to show up there in Jerusalem. But anyway, we come into and we try to figure out exactly why are we here for? What is it? What is Chag Sameach about? What is Rosh Chodesh about? What is Yom Kippur, Yom Turach about? Turach about? Well, about making noise and shouting and screaming. Well, no, that's true. Because every holy day, you're supposed to do this. That is sound of the... We are going to go now to the book of... What? Oh, you got it. What chapter?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. First one. What does it say? And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses, saying... How many times did Moses hear God's word? A lot. Remember, I told at least 150 times that the Lord spoke unto Moses. So you got to think that Moses really heard an awful lot. He probably paid real close attention. That's why it's all written down. Moses doesn't quote himself. He quotes the word of the Lord. He quotes the Creator of heaven and earth. Make two trumpets of silver, of whole a piece, which will be made, that thou shalt make them, that thou may use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camp. So now we have two of these silver trumpets. My son went to pick them up. He's heard this before, so it's nothing new to him. But here we have two silver trumpets. They're sitting there. Okay, when do you use them? When you're going to calling forth the assembly, and, okay, we get more specific later on, for the journeying of the camps. So, when the silver trumpet is blown, it's going to do one or two things. Depends upon how the sound comes out. And how many, if one horn or two horns are blown. Depends upon that. We'll get to that in a minute. And so we see here that when God uses a trumpet, and we go in the book of Revelations, we go in the book of the writings of Paul, sometimes we translate as that into the shofar, you know. Wait a minute. Let's talk about what it says here. Because, by the way, the shofar doesn't do the calling. The silver trumpets do the calling. And there's just two of them. Wow. That's fascinating, isn't it? So what do we see here? A blowing of two trumpets that are made of silver. They have a purpose for them. Unlike the shofar, these two have a very specific purpose. They're not blown at random. They're blown in certain cases, in certain places, and certain conditions. The main use, of course, is to call an assembly and, of course, for the journeying to what's called the Promised Land. Where is your Promised Land? Where is my Promised Land? Where is it at? In the kingdom of God. That's the promised land. You're going to be called to go on a journey to enter into the promised land, which is the kingdom of God. What did Jesus talk about? What did Yeshua? The kingdom of God. What John Paul? Kingdom of God. What Paul talk about? Kingdom of God. You think we're going there? Or are we going to, quote, Israel? The land, the physical land. No. We're being called for greater purposes. Far greater than you can imagine. Now, prophecy will be fulfilled. Don't get me wrong. There will be a physical movement of human beings, flesh and blood. Don't have any question about that whatsoever. Well, my question to you, or my statement to you, is on this day, we are going to be entering into something entirely different and representing something entirely different. You have such wonderful news, such wonderful opportunity, such wonderful hope. That just, how do you hold it in? All right? And they shall blow them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves unto thee, Moses, at the door of the tabernacle of congregation. Then ye shall blow it once. Then the princes and the heads of the thousands of Israel shall gather themselves unto thee, Moses. So, now there's two things going on here with the blowing of the shofar, blowing the horns, right? One of them is to bring the assembly together. The second one now is, wait a minute, I'm going to bring just the elders, just the leadership, just those that are going to go out and show, teach, and lead the people to where the promised land really and truly is. So anybody up here who speaks, including me, my job, my function is to do what? Lead you to where the kingdom of God is at. And that's what I hope to be able to accomplish. But only God can do that by and through His power, by and through His Word, and by and through His Spirit. One of the very first uses of these things is to call in the heads of the house of Israel. Why? They're the boss. Let me ask you a question. I know you know this, so I'm going to ask the question anyway. When Yeshua said, the greatest amongst you must be, I thought the greatest amongst you would be king, a ruler, a dictator, someone that can tell you how to live, where to live, how much money you can make, what you can go, how many children you should have. No. What is the function of a leader? Submit, to serve. What was he supposed to do? Serve you by telling you what God has said. Then you, because you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, will respond to it and say, wow, I'm going to go there. I'm going to move this way. There's not a person in this room that does not understand what God wants. As I said last week, I haven't had any of you come to me and say, I don't know what God wants me to do. Because every one of you know what God wants you to do. You don't have to ask me. Don't have to ask me for my permission. Don't have to ask me for my input. No, all you have to do is go to the Word of the Living God, and you all know what it is. And you cannot, quote, say, I don't understand it, because why? What did the Apostle James say? If any of you do what? Lack wisdom, what are you supposed to do? And what happens? Abundantly. He doesn't hold anything back. All right? And that's the object here. See, every one of you, and I know this, all of you have grown tremendously in the last year. Not just a little bit, tremendously. I see tremendous amount of fruit coming from you. I see tremendous amount of God doing and teaching and showing you what it is. These are shofars. I mean, the trumpets, rather. Temporarily put them up here. I'm liable to knock them over, so I'd be careful. Well, one of them maybe is to call the elders, and the other one maybe to call them. No. I don't know. But see, it's a little bit different design, isn't it? Hammered work, small, thin. Why? I can't blow these things. They're really hard to blow. I think you're the only one I know that can blow them really good. I found one other person who can blow it better than you. I really am surprised, Joshua. You want to try it, Joshua? He looked around. Who? Been a while. A year ago. That's a piercing sound, isn't it? Now, on Mount Sinai, they heard trumpets. Now it says shofar. But it was so piercing. Very strong, very powerful. Now we know that when the angels blow it, they got more air in them than you or I or Joshua does. All combined together. And so when they blow them, they're going to hear it. And they're going to be very loud. For those who want to hear it. If you don't want to hear the word of the Lord, you will not hear it. Understand what I'm saying? This is for the calling forth of the assembly, not the world. This is for calling forth the elders of Israel, the house of Israel, not the world. You understand what I'm saying? That's what's aimed at. We may think, oh, no, the whole world's going to hear it. No, they will not. When that last trumpet is blown, the dead in Christ will come. Resurrect themselves first into life. And then you and I will no longer be in the process of decomposing. We'll be transformed into life. We'll be there. This is the reason why this is such a wonderful day. It's also a day of really serious warning. Let's continue on here. Not for the house of Israel. Listen. When ye blow an alarm, which means a clamor, a noise, then the camps that are on the east part shall go forward. And you blow it again in the ones on the second time, then the camp that lies on the south shall make their journey. Oh, this is interesting. Do you see a pattern here? Not everybody goes at once. God is the author of what? Confusion, chaos, and excitement, and you run for... Oh, you are in precise order. We went through the book, A Time of Israel Coming Out of Egypt. They were in precise order in sections of five. Remember that? They didn't turn tail and run. They weren't scared. They walked out of there with a high hand. That's something pretty powerful, right? And when you and I can look back, because those are examples for us to see and understand that we may be able to live by, we know we have a powerful God. If He delivered them in that way with a high hand, would He not deliver you also? O ye of little faith, do you not know that it's your Father's will to give you the kingdom? Who is He talking to? His disciples. What kind of relative knew in the process? They didn't know Him that well. Well, they got to know Him by the time they were 40, 50, 60 years old. After He was dead, buried, and resurrected. So we see the silver trumpets are for a very good. They are for alarm to move the clamp. Where's the camp going? Where was the object of the camp? Where were they supposed to go? To the promised land. Okay, simple. Not to war. Now, we'll get to there in war later. Okay, it talks about war later. And these trumpets will do that. When they're blown for battle. By the way, when it's blown, and you will hear it. I mean, you will hear what I'm saying as I keep going. Even God says, oh, now I hear the trumpets, and the enemy is coming. I am going to stop them because you have blown the horn of the warning that the enemy is coming. I am going to fight the battle. Now, it's an entirely different story, isn't it? Entirely different way of looking at God. Sometimes we rely too much on ourselves, rely too much on our abilities, our talent, our skills. When the word truth is, rely upon God, and you'll be able to go where He wants you to go. There is no time for anybody be able to go. This, go down here. It says, the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets, and they shall be your be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. That means basically the priest. Who's Aaron representing? Who's Aaron representing? And the sons of Aaron, who are they representing? The Messiah, the high priest. So who's going to tell you what to do? Who's authorized to, quote, blow the horn? The Messiah. Are you going to be able to hear him when he blows it? Well, if you do, you get to move into the promised land. Now, I didn't go to the book of Numbers yet, and there have some problems. Some people didn't really want to go that way, and they were eliminated. We know that. We're not getting there. We're talking about the people who wanted to go there. And a whole generation got tired of it and said, oh, we've heard that story song and dance before. Who cares? It's if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then ye shall blow an alarm, and with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before whom? Yahuwah, or Yahweh, your Elohim, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Wow. Did you know that's what it's for? Did you realize these two silver trumpets, when the enemy is approaching, ready to attack you, what are you supposed to do? Blow them horns. And what does Yahweh say? Oh, I heard that. I will stop them. And he does. And many times we know in the history of Israel, he's actually stopped them. Caused the enemy to go completely wacko. They have no idea what's going on. They've been killing themselves. I can't do that. I'm not that good a talker. You see, I can't get into the mind and the heart and the spirit of anybody. But the Creator can. Why? Because He created them. He knows exactly what's going on. Remember, He says, Your spirit is like a big, huge flashlight to him, or a big, huge light to him. He sees everything. It's like nothing you do is hidden from me. Whatever you think. So the two trumpets are basically called to bring together the assembly. And to look at the purpose of the two silver trumpets, we see that they are to call together the people for two main reasons. One is for them to come to the tabernacle where God is at. And the other reason is to begin their journey. So, Feast of Trumpets. Are you hearing what it's telling you? Are you ready for the journey? Are you ready to go? Got a comment?
Who owns the trumpets?
Who ordered them?
No. Did each family have a set of
trumpets? No. Just two. So only the priest is to have them.
So the priest is the only one who could.
Priests are the only ones that had access to them. Priests are the only ones that had power over them. Yes.
In my study the other day, Richard, you're right. I noticed that the only time the silver trumpets are used are in connection with the priest, the tabernacle, and the king. Pretty amazing. That's the only time that the other words are used as shofar or tekoa or teruah, but the one in connection only with the priesthood, the tabernacle, and the king are the silver trumpets.
Sometimes we get ourselves confused and we think of the Ruach as noise. I mean, come off it. Personally speaking, come off it. When the shofar, quote that lamb's horn, quote the gazelle horn, is supposed to make a certain sound to tell you what to do, where to go, even in that pattern. It's not a bunch of noisemakers. It's not like at a big party and having a bunch of kids with their blowing the thing at a birthday party, and you know, all that kind of stuff. Throw it out. Has no bearing. All right? Everything in God, He has a use for. He is not a God that says, oh, yeah, okay, just, oh, you make a little noise? Oh, I'm happy. No, He tells you what kind of noise He wants to hear, if I can use that word. Remember I talked to you about the tabernacle. You don't get to build the tabernacle and put it in there what you would like to give to God. That's not what He wants. You only to build and give to God what God wants you to build and give. And that's the same thing in your spiritual world, in your life, in your heart, in your soul, in your mind. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your being. You better find out what He wants. Because if you don't, the promised land becomes really restricted. Okay, we also know that the trumpets are to be blown on certain holy days and all the holy days. I want to move really quickly now, because I have more to say. I want you to turn to Matthew 24, verse 31. And He shall send these angels, verse 31, with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather the elect from the four corners, from one end of heaven to the other. Oh, He's going to go four corners. That one, okay. Who is going to be called first? From the east. You got the picture? Who's going to be called second? From the south. And then He calls to the west. Oh, good, we got it. We got it. We're third person here. And then He calls north. He calls the north. He's going to call all four in precise order, in precise fashion. It's not a chaotic thing with God. Everything is a precise order. Yes.
Is that the same order when we wave the lulav?
Yes. East? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
When if you come here and you watch, we do the lulav every day for 7 days. We don't do it on the eighth day because that's already finished. Okay? And so when it's done, we call forth what you're doing representing. We're calling forth the people from the east first. And you're calling forth the people of the south. You're calling forth the people of the west, and you're calling forth the people of the north. And so that calling is, in a sense, the sound of the shofar. I mean, sound of the silver trumpet. Does that make sense to you? Am I just full of a lot of weird things? I may be full of a lot of weird things, but you know, I hope that makes sense to you. In 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, we always call the resurrection chapter, right? Resurrection to what? To life. I am the resurrection of the life. Who is? All right, so when you are resurrected, or I am resurrected, or we'll get to this other part of Apostle Paul, changed is because it's going to be done by the power of the Spirit and the power of the Messiah Himself. He will do the calling. Now, when you look at the time of His coming, both the book of Joel and the book of Zechariah, the first place He begins to work is where? Where's the first place He begins to work? And the land of Judah. First place He begins to work is not New York City, Santa Rosa, California. We're way behind on the list. First place he's going to do is the land of Judah. You say, well, come off it. Is he favoring them? Yeah. Well, I don't like it. Tough. If you don't like it, don't come. That's easy, right? Just, I don't like your orders. Forget it. Yeah. That's okay. You're over with. Goodbye. Verse 52-54 in the resurrected chapter has been called of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In a moment, in the winking of an eye, the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For the corruptible, the dead person, must put on incorruptible, no longer dead, and the mortal, the dying one, must put on immortal, put on immortality, no longer dying, so that when the corrupted, the dead person, shall have put on incorruption, no, not dead any longer, and this mortal, dying person, shall have put on immortality, no longer dying, then shall it be brought to pass, saying, it is written that death, the dead person who is, and those who are in the process of dying, no more. It's swallowed up in victory. What is the victory? Yeah. That's the victory. And that victory only comes through one person. You all know that. I know that. So on this day of Shavuot, on this day of Yom Teruah, you are in the process of the beginning. You're beginning to say, what is the next step, Eternal Father? What do I do now? What do you do? What's the next thing in line? All right, it's called what? Yom Kippurim. Now, I will talk about Yom Kippurim more in detail. The following Monday, I think this year. The 20th of this month. But I want you to see, get a picture here of what this is, the first part of the last. This is the final seventh month, rather, is the final end of it all. It brings to a completion. It brings to a completion. Okay, I want to go, let's see. I won't go there. You remember the statement that Jesus made about Jerusalem? Okay. And
you will not see me again.
Why? You're laying desolate. You're going to be destroyed, Jerusalem. You're going to be wiped out, Jerusalem. Nothing's going to be remembered about you, Jerusalem. You're dead, Jerusalem. How then can they bring forth and say, blessed is he comes in the name of the Lord? Wow. Stop and think, please. The next filled chapter. I'm not going to go to the book I'm not going to go through the prophecies because everybody got their ideas and their opinion and their thoughts, and that's okay. But at the very same time, the next chapter tells you the desolation that is taking place or is going to take place, and it's not a good picture. Not a good picture at all. Was he just saying that then, that point in time? Oh, you know, Jerusalem, you're desolate. Oh, 1 minute. He was there. He was still standing. Temple didn't destroy it until, 70 AD. The Romans took a long time to finally wipe it out. Is that when it was desolate? No, he's at the end time. Jerusalem will become a desolate city. Wow. And that's when they have to cry out to God. Now, you say, well, they must then therefore confess. Well, they don't have to confess anything. All they have to do is admit something. They need God. They need God's Messiah. That's all. Whether they, quote, know the depths, the heart, the purpose, the meaning, because I will tell you, when he comes, after he has delivered Jerusalem, after he has delivered Judah, after he has given them strength, then the house of Judah says, and the house of Israel says, they began to weep for the one that they had killed as if his own son. It's not going to come before the Messiah comes. That statement is going to come after he has come, established his power, and then they look upon him as one that they have killed. And they will cry. They will weep. Do you want conversion before that point in time? That's not how God works. You understand what I'm saying? He works how he works. I don't work like he works. You don't work like he works. In fact, he doesn't even want our ideas. Who's before me? Give me counsel. There's nobody. No, he's the one that makes the whole thing work. Couple of places here. I'll see if I can. I want to quickly go rapidly. First of all, I want to tell you what I believe. Okay, you don't have to go along with what I'm saying. I look at the first book of the Bible. I look at the first chapter in the book of the Bible. God had things set in a precise pattern how he is going to do something. And he said, and it got done. He said, and it got done. He didn't put the actions of the fourth day on the first day. He didn't. He didn't move any time cycle away. The first day he did this, second day he did that, all the way through. He didn't move any of those precise patterns. And you have been with me, you have heard from me, and you've gone through the 50 days precise pattern. God is always works in precise patterns. Nothing is a chaos and confusion with him. We become chaos and confusion. You know why? Because we only pay attention to this scripture, that scripture, that one over there, this one over here, for a doctrinal point of view. Fine, that's great. However, how does God think? You know, I ask God every single day, I want to know how you think. I'm on my knees early in the morning and I say, oh, eternal God, I want to know. Sometimes he says, not today. No, I'll be honest with you. He says, no, not today. You haven't worked on what I said yesterday yet. I'm being smart, but you understand what I'm saying. I have patience, because God has granted me a tremendous amount of patience. In my old age, I'll be grant you. When I was younger, I was just the opposite, you know. Like most of you probably were when you were younger. Very impatient. And age catches up with you and you say, oh my. Revelations. I'm going to go through this really quick. In order. I look at things in precise order, not in chaos and confusion. All right? Sixth chapter. And the land opened one of the seals. And lo, verse 2, I looked and behold a white horse that he sat upon him, and a bow and a crown, and given to him, and he went out to conquer and conquer. The second seal broken. Oh, what's next? In precise order, another horse, fiery red, went out and did it was granted to him to take one who sits upon it to take peace from the earth, and the people shall be killed one another, and there was given to him great sword. Oh, another seal, third one broke open. And he said, now I hear a voice from the midst of the four living creatures saying, the court of a quart of wheat for a denarii, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarii, and do not touch the wine or the oil. And then the fourth seal opens up. And all of a sudden it says here, so I look, and behold, a pale horse. And there came to him, who sat upon him, was death. And Hades followed him, and the power that was given to them over the fourth of the earth to kill with a sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beast of the fat. And the fifth seal opened up. Oh, wow, what happened here? It's going awful fast here. I saw under the altar the souls, and they called out to a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, will you judge? Will you judge and avenge the blood of those who dwell upon the earth? Sixth seal opened up, and it says, oh my, look at this. The sixth, stars of heaven were falling to the earth, and the fig tree gave up this timely figs, it shaking like a mighty wind. And then, oh, what's this? Oh, wow, let's continue on here. He says, but the sixth seal, let's take a little bit longer going through that, isn't it? Let me take a look at the. Oh, what? And a great day of his wrath has come. The people who terrified him. So sixth seal tells the world, you're in real bad shape. The creator of heaven and earth is going to come and kill you. Literally. And I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. What are they standing there for? This is in the sixth seal now. Right? He says, oh, an angel standing from the east. An angel from the east. What always comes from the east when God is mad? A hot wind. It really is the angels coming at you, and they're coming from that direction. And they do a lot of destruction. I believe every angel under the power of God obeys God completely. Not an issue in my mind. And then he saw these from the east. And I said, by the way, don't do any harm to, you know, this and that. Don't do that, don't do that. Where's the seventh? Oh, there it is. Eighth chapter. Oh, there, eighth. What? Wow, all the sixth, but all the way through. Seventh chapter. Oh, my. I wonder, how come it took so long? Why did the sixth one take so long? You'd ask yourself a question. Seventh seal. Oh, now I'm opening up. That's what happened. He saw seven angels, of course, and they had the seven trumpets, okay. But then another angel came on the scene. What did the angel do? He had a golden censer. This is the seventh seal now, and was full of what? What did he do with it? He poured it out. What does it represent? The prayers of the saint. The seventh seal is God retaliating and answering the prayers of the saints who were killed. We're not even in the blowing the trumpets yet, are we? And then you get pretty powerful. Now you can say, well, let's take it out of sequence. The really seventh one really doesn't mean the seventh one. It really means the first one. No, the first one means the eighth one. The eighth one means the tenth one. The tenth one means... No. God has got things in order. That's my personal belief. Now, as we come on through... Now we come to the blowing of the seven trumpets. The first angel sounded, verse 7, Revelation 8, verse 7. And hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they're thrown to the earth, and the third of the trees were burned up, and the trees and grass. The second angel sounded, boy, that's really quick, and something like a great mountain burning with fire thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. Oh, and you're going to get a third angel came out and sounded it. And a great star fell from heaven and burning like a torch. And it filled on a third of the waters and the spring of waters. Oh, and the fourth one come on scene real quickly. And it said, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of stars, so that the third of them were darkened a third of the day. And did not shine, and likewise the night. And then there's an angel says, woe, woe, woe. You think that was bad? Nah. It's not over with yet. Now, remember, this is the wrath of God. Not the wrath of the devil. The wrath of the devil doesn't come until much later. When does it come? Blowing of the sixth trumpet. The fifth trumpet now is sounding. Chapter 9, verse 1. And what did he say? All from heaven and earth was given to him the key to the bottomless pit. And they were consumed, verse 4, and they were commanded to harm, not to harm the grass or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their forehead. Fascinating. Now 6:1 come. That's woe number one, by the way. Woe number two. Sixth angel sounded. Their voice from the throne. Must be the creator of heaven and earth, right? From the old golden altar, which is before God. Release the four angels who are bound by the rivers Euphrates. What's going to happen? So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, the year, were released to kill a third of mankind. Then another mighty angel came. Well, we're still in the sixth trumpet, aren't we? Wow. How bad can it get? Another mighty angel came down from heaven. He said something. He cried out, verse 3. He said, he cried out, the seven thunders uttered their words. Oh, wow. Do you know what they say? It's all under the seventh trumpet. No one knows. We will find out when the sixth trumpet is blown. When the morning of God comes, we'll find out because he said they will. Don't want to go there today. I'm going to do it real, real fast. Hope you put up with me. Seal up the things with seven thunders of dead. The day of the sounding, because it says the day of the sounding of the seventh angel, then they will be told what is gained. So the sounding of what's going place in the sixth seal, those seven trumpets, are not going to be heard until the seventh trumpet is blown. And then they can be heard. Right? Now what happens? This is the very last trump. You remember the two witnesses? What happened to them? They were killed. And then the seventh trumpet was blown. What happened to them? They were resurrected up from the dead. Life was given unto them. Sound of the last trumpet. It's woe unto the world, but not unto them. And not unto those who died in Christ in the past. Not those who were alive and yet to be changed. We don't have anything to fear. You know the reason why God is called El Shaddai? Remember I told you? The one that brings forth deluge. The one that brings forth total, absolute, total destruction. That's what El Shaddai stands for. Now, if he's on your side, what are you afraid of? You can be on his side. What are you afraid of? Nothing to be afraid of. That's what he told Abram. Don't be afraid. I'm El Shaddai. No harm's going to come to you. It didn't. And we have to kind of have that faith that Abraham had. We have the faith of Abraham, then we know this. We know that being a soul. And on this day, it's the beginning of when the people begin to have life. And you are part of learning it. The two silver trumpets are there. They got to do some calling. They will call forth the first leaders. My personal speaking probably will not be me. I got a funny feeling it's going to be the apostles. And they're going to wind up there. And maybe the prophets of old, because that's what we listen to, right? We have to listen to what they are saying. And Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, I have no doubt in my mind that the first one's going to go there. They're going to get the whole picture before you get the picture. But it's like a winking of an eye. So fast it's going to happen. How beautiful the whole scenario. Yes.
I just have a question. You're not saying that no believers are going to die during this period, even though it's the wrath of God,
oh,
right?
Oh, I take it back. 14th chapter of Revelation. Yes, believers will die.
That's what I... Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Believers will die when he's here. You don't like it? What can I say? You just take your Bible, take a big black mark, and then you can be happy. Of course, you know, if I black out the other side of the book, too. Anyway. When seven angels sounded, their loud voice in heaven. No, quiet, stone quiet. And then the temple of God was opened in heaven. And the ark and his covenant, which was seen in his temple. And there were lightning, noise, thunders, and earthquake, great earthquake, and great hail. Not up in heaven, on this earth. Now, I'm finished for today. So you go take a breather. I want you to come back, so we want to finish the rest of the services out. And then we'll get into doing the new moon portion of it. And then we'll have the food to eat. That's what you're here for, right? And dancing. You can dance a lot more today than before. All right? I'll take one, two more comments, but I think I need to wrap it up. Nobody has any more comments? Oh, John, okay.
Is the first resurrection, do you see it as a singular event, or...
Okay, I don't look at it the way when we think first, okay? That's like the first fruits. Every year there's the first fruits of the tree. Every year there's first fruits. We're not talking about number one, number two, number three. We're talking the Rashit. Now, there are a lot of Rashits. I have a problem with lots of beginnings. God had no problem with beginnings. So I can't tell you that I fully agree with what you're saying, but yet when I look at the first resurrection, we're not talking about, oh, the first one, because technically there in Revelations, those are the ones who have been beheaded, and they get to serve with Christ. If I don't get beheaded, guess what? I'm not there. That's my thinking. My thinking. I may be wrong. That's my thinking. What about, yeah, what about those ones who were drowned by force? Yeah. I'm just telling you what it says, okay? I think toward the latter days, an awful lot of heads are going to roll. Literally, a lot of heads are going to roll.